Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, we have Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir. Good to have you.
How are you?
Oh, look at that. There you go. That's my fault. I confused Candy by giving him the other mic.
So people know, I just speak into the mic they give me.
No, it's not the sheriff's fault. Not even remotely. It's totally our fault. So, couple of incidents, as we always do. Always have some incidents to talk about. One is you had a felony battery strangulation and a kidnapping of a girlfriend up in Cantonment. Is that right?
Unfortunately, that's right. Yeah, we arrested Antoine Davis, and he is accused of holding and strangling his girlfriend periodically over a two-day period. I think they were at a grandmother's house or her mother's or his grandmother's house. And the report was that he held her and battered her and, again, strangled her over the course of a two-day period, would not let her leave. I think that if she tried to leave, he would batter her and bring her into the house, threaten her with more violence if she left the house. Just a terrible situation, but now he is—he's under arrest, and he'll answer for those charges.
You know what I always think about cases like this is—I mean, thank God she's okay. It seems like she's going to be okay. Right. Thank God we're, at least for the moment, able to separate them and get her out of that situation. But what I always think is not so much how awful for her, but how awful for the other ones we don't know about.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, unfortunately, that is the case where some people don't report it, and then it escalates or continues. Either one's terrible. So that's why we do our best to try to, let people know it's okay. There's a place. There's a safe place you can go to. There are resources available. And if you know of someone that's been the victim of that, you can call us and we can check that out. We certainly are willing to arrest those that are committing these terrible crimes.
And the psychology involved in the victims and the perpetrators, it's all very complicated stuff. It's emotions, it's patterns, it's what you're expecting, it's what you think of your own self-worth. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff built in and around this, and it's awful to know, tragically, how common, how not uncommon, this kind of stuff is, unfortunately. We also had a guy was threatening four people with a gun on Dudley Drive, is that right?
Yeah, on Sunday we arrested a guy that there were four people in a house on Dudley Drive, and he came out with a handgun and threatened them because it was an argument between two females at the residence, which became physical. And then the male suspect pointed a handgun at four individuals and threatened them. So obviously you can't do that.
Right.
So he was arrested. His name was Ladarius Blankenship. We ended up arresting him for that particular crime.
And you also had I guess it was a shooting on Blunt Street. This was yesterday, I think, that somebody was shot. And I thought I heard that this was maybe an abandoned home or something like that.
Yeah, as I understand it, people are staying at his home, and we can't determine who owns the home, but there's a number of people that have been staying in that. In this particular case, a guy said that he claims he got shot by a male he doesn't know. He claims that this is a young black male with dreads in a white shirt. So that's all we have to go on at this point. It does not appear life-threatening, the injuries.
You have the information you have.
We can only investigate with what we have. We obviously secured a crime scene. We gather any shell casings and that sort of thing. We certainly investigate these things, all crimes. But sometimes we get information that we deem reliable and credible, and sometimes we do not.
I see. And, sometimes the people who are giving you the less than credible information, they may eventually become suspects.
And strangely enough, I mean, it's the ones that get shot that sometimes don't give us the information.
How big of a problem is it for your office or for the community in general, abandoned, vacant, dilapidated, we tend to think of, but homes that are empty, my perception is that, homeless people move in and that can be a problem, but criminals can move in. Generally speaking, empty homes are a law enforcement challenge, right?
They certainly can be. As you said, people can, first of all, the home gets deteriorating, yard and stuff looks bad. It becomes a nuisance to the neighborhood itself.
Yeah.
But then you got the added threat, if you will, of individuals, breaking in and staying there, squatting there. For no good purpose, or you never know what's going to happen whenever people go in there and they loot or they just occupy a home for a certain period of time. And the bottom line is, you don't live there. Stay out of someone's house.
Right. Right. You would think.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say something, and I'm curious to see whether you'll agree with me. I think you will, but that's why I want to ask. In our neighborhood, you know, we know a lot of the neighbors. We walk. We talk with people. We engage them. And, you know, in every neighborhood, you've got, like, there are the people who just want to be in their house and leave them alone. And then there are the people who are kind of lightly connected to other people. And then you've always got, there's kind of these 5% of the residents that are, you know, they're probably on the HOA and they kind of know everybody and they got their busybodies in the sense of they're into everybody's business and they know all the gossip. And those people are vital for crime deterrence and prevention, though, because they're the ones who are going to know and they're going to talk and they're going to call the police. And like, those people can sometimes be a little bit, oh, man, you know, but they're also like, that's the neighborhood watch, even if it's not a neighborhood watch, right?
Well, and we tell people, you know, back in the day, we would have a lot more of the neighborhood watch and association meetings. And now with social media, we can get that information out, you know, to a wider audience. But we would tell them a lot of times to pay attention to what's going on in your neighborhood, work and protect your own neighborhood as if it were your own. So what, you know, again, what they were taught to do or told to do or asked to do is to pay attention. If you see something suspicious, call us and we can check it out. If you see a car parked in your, you know, a neighbor's house that may be away on, yep, on deployment or maybe away on vacation, then to give us a call. And those are very important things to keep a neighborhood safe. You know, we do get calls, unfortunately, about neighborhood disputes, about what someone terms a busybody and,
yeah, right,
you know, mind your own business, leave me alone. As you pointed out, there may be some people that just want to be left alone, and that's true. And that's why, you know, you move into a house with covenants and or a neighborhood with covenants. And if you want to be left alone, there are places in Escambia County
where you can do that.
With,
yeah.
You know, acreage and such.
Look, I mean, you know, the person who knows what everybody drives is the person who knows when somebody's driving and shouldn't be there, you know, and that's
there's a balance there. Right?
That's right. That's exactly right. But again, that can be useful for crime thwarting. 747 News Radio 92.3 Sheriff Chip Simmons is here in studio. Candy's got traffic for us.
So you like the Kravitzes? My Kravitz. 98 westbound, a little slow as you're approaching Navy Boulevard, a little slow getting over the bridge for the front gate of Pensacola NAS, but not bad, not back that bad at all. It looks like we're watching Rebel Road and 9 Mile Road showing an accident, but also showing that it's clear. 437-1620, texting your traffic tips, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Yeah. Sheriff, earlier today, I played an audio clip from former President Trump over the weekend speaking in California, and you and I talk almost too much, but I don't think it's too much. I think it's very useful. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about the rules regarding guns, the rules about self-defense, stand your ground, Castle Doctrine, all of that kind of stuff. And I heard him say this morning, and we had a pretty robust discussion about it earlier in the morning, but I wanted to give you a chance to comment because I spoke in your behalf. I said, well, this is what Chip would say about this, and I hope I'm right. I mean, I know I'm sure I'm right, but okay, you know, I wanted to give you a chance to hear it. This is President Trump in California over the weekend.
And we will immediately stop all of the pillaging and theft. Very simply, if you rob a store, you can fully expect to be shot as you are leaving that store. Shot.
So, Sheriff?
You know, the rules are, and they continue to be, that if you feel as if your life or another's life is in danger, you can use deadly force. And again, we talked about that. I am a supporter of the Second Amendment. I'm a supporter of someone defending themselves. But if someone's leaving your residence or a store, then what danger do they pose you? That would be, it makes good political theater. I'm just not so sure if that's actually what he meant. You know, there used to be a fleeing felon law here, in the country. I think it was Tennessee versus Garner decided, hey, you can no longer shoot a fleeing felon, that, you know, you can't shoot him in the back, more or less.
Gotcha.
When someone's leaving. Now there are times when a law enforcement officer, someone can think that this person poses such a threat, you know, you're shooting at the cops and you turn around and flee, you can still be shot in that scenario.
Sure.
So I don't know what President Trump was talking about. I can just tell you, if you don't feel as if your life is in danger, and if it's not reasonable to think that your life was in danger at the time that you pull the trigger, then that's illegal.
And we all understand, and I had a caller who took great disagreement with me about this, but we all understand the frustration of being the victim of or seeing other people victimized with a theft of this kind. And if, you know, somebody's coming into the store wielding a baseball bat and chains and you don't know what's about to happen, that is an entirely different scenario than if somebody is, you know, back to you leaving the store carrying a TV and, you know, not a threat of any sort to you.
Well, what I heard him say, and again, there's a nuance here, and you sure. we have some particular more information, but he said robbery. A robbery is not a theft. A robbery is not shoplifting. A mm-hmm. robbery is using a weapon to rob a store, like a handgun or something. And so if he's talking about robbing a store and then turning and leaving, you would have to explain that you felt like that individual that's a robber mm-hmm. with a gun.
Because that's with force. A robber is not a burglary.
Right. It poses a significant threat to you or someone else, the neighborhood, the community, whatever it's going to be. I think it's an uphill battle if you're leaving the store. But I do think that, you know, obviously if they turn towards you, then you're at threat. You're at risk then.
And what I said is, you know, somebody's leaving the store and is no longer a threat. It sounds to me like he's saying shoot him in the back. I mean, he didn't use that phrase, but that's what it sounds to me like he's saying. And I certainly agree that would have a deterrent effect. But you can't justify deadly force. You know, I was actually reading the statute this morning, 7676031, which says you can defend property with force, but not violent, not deadly force. It has to be in commission. Imminent commission of a forcible felony is the justification for deadly force.
Right. And law enforcement have the same rule.
Right, you know, right.
We have the same rules that everyone else has. People think sometimes that law enforcement has a greater authority to just shoot somebody, and that's not the case. When we have an officer-involved shooting, we evaluate it as if it were using the same statutes that you talk about.
Right.
And when the state attorney's office looks at that, they look at those statutes. There aren't special statutes for law enforcement officers. It's as simple as it has been for years since we've been talking. It has to be a reasonable person standard. That you believe that your life or someone else's life is in danger at the point you pull that trigger.
And my biggest concern with people, and this is why I like to talk about this so much, is because I am concerned, especially with everybody now eligible to conceal carry, mm-hmm. is people will have this, you know, I'd rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6. You loot, we shoot. You know, they kind of have these sort of, you know, Rambo-esque pithy phrases that guide them in their thinking. And I just want them to know that is not what the law says. And you know,
you and I both talk, and I'm a big, big supporter of the fact that you can protect yourself.
That's right.
You certainly
right.
can in Escambia County. You can use force to protect yourself in Escambia County, and the tie goes to the runner. In my right. view of these things, I'm just saying that you have
not
to
not in the sense that if they're running, but in the sense of if there's uncertainty between the defender and the violent offender. Right.
We're gonna side with someone that's defending themselves,
right.
especially on your own property. Someone breaks in your property, you get the benefit of the doubt in my mind, but you can't you know help me out. Don't shoot someone when they're leaving. So don't shoot someone whenever they're no longer a threat to you or someone else.
Very good, Sheriff Chip Simmons. Always good information. Thank you so much, always, for giving us good perspective and for keeping us safe. I appreciate that. It's a difficult job, and I'm glad you're doing it. 7:53 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. At New South Window, we bring the fact.